right. So my name's Max Philby, health and medicine reporter for the Columbus Dispatch. And today I am here with Dr. Joe Gastaldo, medical director of infectious diseases for Ohio Health. Dr. Gastaldo has become something of a face of the local pandemic response. You've probably seen him quoted in the Dispatch, as well as on plenty of other local media, TV stations, and radio. Dr. Gastaldo, welcome.
Max, thanks for having me. It's good to see you.
So let's start off with, I know before we started recording, we were talking a little bit about kind of one of your previous jobs. You at one point were a Dispatch paperboy in the 80s, right?
That's correct. So I was a paperboy for the Dispatch. At that time, it was an afternoon paper. The Dispatch was only mornings on Sundays. And I did that from the age of 12 years old to 16 in my little neighborhood in Gahanna, right by the high school. And my district manager was Bill DeSabato. And don't ask me why I still remember his name, but he was a great guy, and I know he really had a lot of pride in the Dispatch, and it was a great job to have as a little kid.
That's awesome. Yeah, I feel like everybody has some sort of connection to the Dispatch that way. Well, let's get started talking about what you're here to talk about today. Obviously, COVID-19, the pandemic continues, but things are quite a bit different than they were, obviously, 2.5 years ago. What, you know, how are you feeling about the current state of the pandemic, where things stand?
Yeah, so the first thing I want to say is the pandemic is still going on, and community cases are roughly a little over 100,000 cases in our country. And again, that's probably an underestimation because of home antigen testing. We're still averaging about 250 deaths a day. That's significantly less. But where we are now is really very different from 2 years ago. Remember, this virus first came on the scene. There was nobody who had any exposure to it. Nobody had any immunity to it. So between vaccines and previous infection, roughly 90% of the population have been exposed to the spike protein. It's a good thing. So people have various shades of immunity. We have vaccines available. We have outpatient treatments, more than just monoclonal antibodies. We have pills. And, you know, having COVID now where we are, it's not as disruptive. So we are now seeing a decoupling. What that means is, although there is more COVID out in the community, in the hospital, we're not seeing the same rise for hospitalizations like we saw with Omicron, where there was a lot of stress in the health care system. In the hospitals during this past winter surge, we really had to cut back on all elective cases. So right now, things are in a much better place for COVID. We just have to keep our eyes on the ball when it comes to monitoring for variants and still talk to the public in a way they understand really on the importance of the vaccines.
I know there's been a lot of talk about, you know, leaving sort of the pandemic stage of this virus and entering the endemic stage. Are we close to that endemic stage? And can you explain what that might look like, whether or not we are?
Yeah. So what endemic means basically is that there's always activity going on, but it's not causing the same type of disruption as we have. So the fact that it's endemic does not necessarily mean it's less dangerous. But what it really means is that it's something that is not as disruptive. So we have the tools available today, meaning that we have vaccines that are fully FDA approved. We have outpatient treatments that are designed to really mitigate against people dying or being hospitalized. Talking about masks is still important. We don't have mask mandates anymore, but for those individuals in the community, there are people who should still be wearing a high quality mask. And we really need to make sure people are on point with all that messaging.
Are we in for another round of boosters, do you think, before the year's out?
I do. What we know coming out of signals from Washington, D.C., the FDA, is that both Pfizer and Moderna are working on really the next generation of a COVID vaccine. And what they're working on is what we call a bivalent vaccine. Bi means two. And tentatively, the vaccine they're doing clinical trial now is a still the ancestral strain combined with Omicron. And tentatively, that's what's going to be available as a booster, probably for everybody in the fall. But again, we still need to wait for those studies to be done. We have to let them go through the review process from both the FDA and the CDC and see where that conversation goes.
It's summer, so that means it's wedding season, you know, ball game season, outdoor concerts, things like that again. Should people feel safe doing some things like that again? And even if they should, what kinds of precautions should they take?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think a lot of it really has to do individually with what's going on with the patient, specifically what at-risk conditions do you have? How old are you? Have you received your vaccines? More importantly, are you up to date on your vaccines? And just to kind of dovetail that, in our country, 66% of all Americans are fully vaccinated, but only a third of them have received their booster. And then moving forward, too, we need to be on point when it comes for messaging on masking. Some people should be wearing a mask. And then the new discussion that we really need to have people understand is the outpatient treatment, specifically the pills, home testing. So for anybody listening to this, regardless of your vaccination status, if you have an at-risk condition, what is your plan to get tested? And what is your plan to get the outpatient pills to keep you out of the hospital? And that's a discussion that people really need to think about. When it comes to testing, everybody should have home antigen tests. They're made available free through the federal government. And if you have an at-risk condition, you need to have a plan to get the pills. Do you have an at-risk condition? Over half of all Americans do have an at-risk condition, whether it be being overweight, whether it being diabetes, heart disease, lung disease, kidney disease. What is your plan to get the pills? Do you know where to get the pills? Do you have a doctor or a healthcare provider who knows about the pills? And that's an important plan for everybody to really think about now.
And can you speak a little bit? I know the FDA is considering yet another vaccine that's a little bit of a different one. I think you had said before it's Novavax's vaccine. What's so special or different about that one?
Yeah, so the Novavax vaccine will hopefully be available for Americans to use. The Novavax vaccine is a spike protein vaccine. This is a more traditional vaccine in the same context as the shingles vaccine or the hepatitis B vaccine. So this is not an mRNA vaccine. It's not a DNA vaccine like the J&J vaccine. This is a more traditional vaccine. And I think, and I do know patients and even people in my family who are more comfortable with this type of vaccine. So I'm looking forward for it to hopefully become available. We have to wait for it to go through the FDA and CDC review process. But that is another armamentarium we have for those who may have concerns or personal questions with mRNA vaccines.
Sounds good. Monkeypox, obviously, it's made a lot of headlines lately. I think people are probably still a little on edge given COVID and whatnot. Is this something people need to be worried about? How concerned about it are you?
From a pandemic perspective like COVID, I'm not fearful at all like monkeypox. We need to pay attention to monkeypox. Monkeypox is not a new virus. First human infection was in the 1970s. We had an outbreak of monkeypox here in the United States in 2003 from imported rodents that got in contact with prairie dogs that people adopted. What's different about monkeypox really is that we have close to 1,000 cases in over 30 different countries. And when it comes to contact tracing, we really need to depend upon the professionals in public health to kind of figure out how people got the monkeypox. Because we don't have an animal vector. What we really know about it is that the monkeypox from human to human is spread through intimate contact, not like COVID-19, but you really have to have close intimate contact with body fluids, either respiratory droplets or the fluid that people get with monkeypox.
Makes sense. Doctor, thank you for joining us today. We really appreciate all you guys are doing over there.
Thanks for having me.